Geç sana. This month's shiur is being sponsored by Sheila and Rani Afel and family in memory of Reb Zev ben Azriel Afel Zal, by the Nisbam family parameters in memory of Achav Shmuel ben Achav Meir Zal. There's a famous marshal from the Dibna Magid. Usually I don't put my shiur like that. There's a famous marshal where they asked him, how come he always has such great mashalim? He always has such great stories. It always goes right to the point. So he said, I'll give you a marshal. So the marshal was about that the king was looking for, was trying to find an expert archman. So he goes out, he sends his servants out to the forest to go find who's the guy with the best marks. So he goes and he sees there's a tree with a bullseye and an arrow right in the bullseye. Then another tree with a bullseye. Every tree, one after another, the arrow is not much in the bullseye. He said, we got to find who's the guy who shot these arrows. They finally find the little kid. So they say, how did you get everyone perfect? So he says, very simple. He said, first I shoot the arrow. Then when I finish shooting the arrow, I draw the bullseye around the arrow, whatever land, that's the target. So that's what the Magid said also. He says, I have a shtickle Torah I want to tell you, a divrei Musar I want to say. So then I think of a story to go around the divrei Musar. So it's mamash the same in terms of the shiur. Usually I prepare a shiur, and every once in a while they get a good story or something, a good relevant shaila halacha ma'aseh comes up. So I try to make the shiur work around the story. Here, what happens as follows: and Dr. Belzman could be made. I prepared the shiur beforehand. The Ma'am Akum was already on the web beforehand. And folks, this morning somebody called me with a shaila, which is exactly what we're going to talk about. And it's a whole new permutation to a certain kunz part of the end of the shiur that I wouldn't have otherwise said. So Ma'amish was min shemayim. The particular shayla that somebody called with, I tell you honest truth, was a very disturbing shayla. Not because the lumbus was gewaldic, but the background of the story I was so upset with. And I hope everyone will share the same disturbance as I was. The shayla was as follows: that a family was going away for Pesach. Okay, that in and of itself, okay, that could disturb me. Not disturb your chayva. I didn't get so disturbed over that. So it was going away for Pesach. And what was the shayla? The shayla is they're leaving the babysitter behind in their house for Pesach. They're going to be away, leaving the babysitter behind. So that in of itself, I started to have a little rachmanis from the babysitters, from someone, you know, from a certain country, maybe out of America. It's hard for them to go away. They don't want to pay even the hotel. They're going to leave the babysitter in the house. Okay, that mela. You know, I wasn't too excited about the kashrus angle. Forget about Pesach. I wasn't too happy about the kashrus angle. You're leaving your babysitter for a week alone. Then they told me the punchline was they're leaving the baby with the babysitter. That the baby, I asked, the baby? V'nareinu v'zkeneinu neilech. V'tapeinu v'vaneinu v'seinu. They said, they don't want to be bothered with the baby over Pesach. They're leaving the 6-month-old baby. My enough community. Why do they have to schlep the baby? They're leaving the baby with the babysitter. No, was I the only one who's crazy? You thought that was crazy? I thought that was nuts. The Philippines died. I thought it was nuts. But so let's ignore all that part of what was disturbing me about the shaila. The lumbus. Now we have to get to the lumbus of the shaila. So forget about my comment on the particular people who were asking the question. But the shaila was as follows. The gist of the shaila was, what arrangement can be made in terms of this non-Jewish babysitter for the week of Pesach? Needless to say, anyone who has a non-Jewish help in the house knows that lav dafka, the non-Jewish help, is so thrilled about eating matzah for a week. So the question is, they want to eat chametz, kedarkam, like the whole week. So what's the halacha? Can I have a setup that the non-Jew is eating in my house chametz for the entire week? Is there anything in terms of, again, I'm not talking about all the hashkafas and everything else, in terms of pure halacha, is there a way to get around that problem? So that would have been, this shaila in and of itself would have been the perfect springboard for this shiur. So we'll try to talk about the shiur, and then at the very end, try to figure out what eitzah of the halacha at least we can give, putting aside all the other issues. So comes the Gemara, the first time I'm coming from Sachem, the family days. L'fish enema lo yirolach ha-sa'or. The Torah says that you're not allowed to have chametz. Or we're going to use the terms interchangeably here. There's a slight halachic difference, but for our purpose, it doesn't really make much of a difference. The Torah says, "Lo yirolach ha-sa'or shalcha yataroa, aval ataroa shalachem v'shal gavalat." So the Torah of that tells us that you're not permitted to own your own chametz. You're not allowed to see or own your own chametz in Pesach, but somebody else's chametz. Here, the achem is referring to a non-Jew, a gavoa, a chametz which belongs to hekdesh. So that is permissible to be in your house. It's in your gvul, it's in your bias. But if it belongs up pidin to the non-Jew, it's a hekdesh, so then it's technically speaking mutter. So then the Brisa continues. Yachol yatmin v'yakav pikdonos min anachri. I might think, therefore, yatmin refers to something else. We'll talk about that in this year. But I might think that it's mutter for a person to watch chametz on behalf of a guy, because we just got finished saying Shalchot Yotarov Paroa Shalachem Shogavala. So I might think that if a guy asks you to watch his chametz, that's okay. Tamalam Lo Yimotzei, that the Torah says Lo Yimotzei. When it comes to Lo Yimotzei, the Torah does not say Lo Yimotzei Lachos Or. So there's like a little bit of a contradiction in Tzukim. One pasuk says that the Yisurim of Oni Chametz only refer to Shalcha. Here the other pasuk speaks about at all circumstances Lo Yimotzei Mikol Makom. So how do you resolve this contradiction? What is it? Is a Goy's Chametz Mutter? Is a Goy's Chametz Asar? So the answer was clearly that phrase Yekabel Pikdonos. That's what the Gemara picks up on a little bit later on himself. That it depends. If a Goy, you happen to have a Goy's Chametz in your Rishos on Pesach, but you're not watching it for them, it's not a Pikadon, it's not being washed, there's no Shomer Mafkin relationship, so then it's okay. Then Shachah Yataroh Avalataroh Shalachem. You finish to have a Goy's Chametz. But if you're watching, you're guarding that Chametz for the Goy, that's considered to be a problem. So that's what the Gemara says in the next one of the Kumas. Rabbi Rabbi Bnei Machuza, Rabbi told the people in his town of Machuza that Be'iru Chamira Dibnei Chelim Ibataychel, that the practice was that the non-Jewish government, they would house soldiers in the people's houses. It's all right. You're not allowed to do that, right? That was the old practice. That they used to, the government would force them to keep soldiers in their houses. So they would bring food also. So comes the Gemara and says, you have to make sure that chametz that belongs to the Bnei Chayil, that belongs to the Goyish soldiers, is not going to be in your house on Pesach. Why? But it's not my chametz, it's the Goyim's chametz. Says the Gemara, came with the Ilu Migna, the Ilu Misbad, Bishu Saichu Kaivil, the Isa Lishlume, since if that chametz would get stolen, you would be responsible. So Api Halacha, we view it as if you're watching on behalf of the non-Jewish government. Now this is a chiddush, because usually a mafka to shomer relationship requires the shomer to consent. Here, nobody asked them. The government told them that they have to keep this food stationed in the house for the soldiers that are being quartered there. So comes the Gemara and says the Chiddush that you have to make sure that the food that you're feeding the Goyish soldiers is kosher Pesach, because if it's chametz and you have kavos or chrayas on it, that's a problem. Kiduchon dami, it's considered to be like your chametz, but also not going to be prohibited in the Torah. So the din is quite clear that even though the din is that you're allowed to have a goy's chametz in your rishos, if you have a kabbalah chrayas for that chametz, then you have a problem. So come to Rishon and have a technical machlokes. What exactly constitutes a chrayas? What exactly does that mean that I'm the shomer, I'm washing this chametz? So comes the Rosh and says, Yesh omrim, davke shomer sachar, dechaya b'gneva v'yaveda, aval shomer chinam lov. Remember back to Parashat Mishpatim, so the Torah speaks about there are different levels of a chrayas. There's the shomer chinam, who's only obligated for pshia if he's actually negligent with the object. The shomer sachar, the person who's getting paid, he's obligated even if something happens, such as the object gets stolen or the object gets lost. Then the ultimate shomer, the shoel, is chayav, even for onset, even if some act of nature happens. So there were some rishonim who wanted to be medayek, that the only times one is considered to be a shomer for the purposes of bayirah v'yamotzei, in order to be chayav for chametz, which is not really his anyway, that's only if he's the higher level shomer, he's a shomer socher. If he's merely a shomer chinam, he's such a low level of achrayas. No, and what was their diuk? Medaykin on the lishna, and they were medayik from the lashon haGemara. The ilu mignav o misbad, because going back to that second of the Ma'amar Kamos, when the Gemara was describing the bnei chayla, the relationship between the soldiers and the people who are watching the chametz, so the Gemara used the phrase gneiv v'yaved. Now gneiv v'yaved is usually synonymous with shomer sachar. So there was some rishonim who wanted to say that you have to reach a certain level of achrayas. If you don't reach that level of achrayas called shomer sachar, that's not considered to be enough. The chayin kasav ri. The Bahag says no, that even a shemechinim, the lowest level of obligation, is sufficient to cause a problem. So what's the lashon haGemara? Mis mignav or misbad? That means b'b'shia ka'amar. That means a shemechinim is chayav for geneva sometimes if he is parshah. Let's say, for example, if you ask me to do you a favor, watch. You're going away for a week. You want me to watch your car. So you don't give me rishus to drive the car. You put it in my driveway. I tell you, put it in my driveway. I'm going to wash it for you. No problem. So I'm a shemachin. You're not paying me anything. So if the car gets stolen, it wasn't my fault that it got stolen. Then I'm potter. I'm a shemachin. But if I leave the keys in the ignition, I put up a big sign that says, "Please call a rotsa vito yom vito." So that's a problem. That's a pshia. So then for sure I'm going to be chayav. So the Baal Lachos Gedolah said that the Lashon HaGemara, Gneiva V'Aveda, doesn't necessarily mean that it was stolen without the fault of the Shomer. Maybe the Gemara meant that it was stolen even by the fault of the Shomer, i.e. even a Shomer Chinam is sufficient to be a problem. So this is in fact the Machlokes of Rishonim, and really 2 days in Shulchan Aruch and Hilchos Pesach, how much level of Achrayas is necessary in order to label the person to be Chayav. We're very careful about this. When we sell a Chametz to the non-Jew, so we go out of our way to write into the contract itself that under no circumstances are we accepting achrayas for the chametz. Because not only do we have to make sure that the chametz isn't ours, but we have to be crystal clear that if anything should happen to the chametz, it's totally, completely the goy's responsibility. We're not going to reimburse him even a penny, because if we accept even the mashu of achrayas on this chametz, then you got yourself right back into trouble. The whole point of the mechiras chametz is to circumvent by a rav and matzeh. If you're mekabel achrayas, then you're going to ruin it. So it has to be crystal clear in the shtar mechira. Remember a couple of years ago, there was a group of bachrim who had gone to Russia, Ukraine, one of these places to do a lot of kiyuv work on Pesach, and apparently it was somewhat far away from civilization, and they called me frantically about a day or two before Pesach that they didn't have they had to sell apparently all the chametz of this particular institution that they were working with, and they didn't have any shtar mechiras chametz, they didn't have any svarim, they didn't have anything. They didn't have any phones, they had nothing. The one guy would call me, he said he was walking with his cell phone about 20 miles, so he finally got a reception to call me. So he calls me, what should I do, Gevalt? So I said, no problem, I'll fax you a copy of Mechiras Chametz form. So he says, fax. I said, fax. He said, we didn't have light bulbs, faxes. So he said, okay, so I'll read you the text over, you write out your own, it doesn't have to be written Lishma. So he write it over quickly. So I started to pull out a Mechiras Chametz form. Not the Mechiras Chametz that I was going to, the real Mechiras Chametz, they were going to sell Mamash and the bread themselves, a very, very, very long text. None of us have seen the actual contract that the Rabbanim signed with the Goy. It was 10 pages long. So it was a long distance quote. So I said, okay, we have to really, circumvent some of the details, some of the legal mumbo jumbo in this form, we'll cut out. So I tried to cut down to what really was the most important part of the form. So we said, the kitzur nimitz, what the basic kinyanim were, how much the chametz is really worth, etc., etc. And then that one line in the form that says that the seller has absolutely no responsibility whatsoever for any single thing that happens to the chametz. So I said, you better put that line in. That's important also. If that line is missing, so then there may be some kind of understood Kabbalah Sechrayas. Kabbalah Sechrayas is a no-no. That's gonna do in your entire Mechira. So that was the shortened version, the Ukrainian Nusach of Mechira's Chametz has dictated to him over the phone from me. So I think has that line in there somewhere. Hopefully the next year when they went back, I think they took a real Mechira's Chametz form with them. That's the din. On the level of Deraisa, these are basically the dinim. That Shalchot Yotarov of Harosh Elachem Shogavoa. But Kabbalah Sechrayas is a problem, and the level of Kabbalah Sechrayas, the machlokes that we showed him in the poskim saying Shulchan Aruch, we try lechatchil to be machmir that there shouldn't be any type of Kabbalah Sechrayas whatsoever. But then, after this din daraisi, after the kolam and Torah is set up, the Gemara tells us a whole different story, and the next one in the Maimakamos, that there's something, a problem in the Rabbanah that we have to deal with also. Amar Rav Yehuda, Marav, M'sachem, Davav, Amin Aleph, Chemtzah Shal Nochri, that if a person happens to have a chametz of a goy in his rishus on Pesach, even though there's no problem in terms of min haTorah, there's no kabbalah sechrayas whatsoever, still the halacha requires that he make a mechitz. He has to make some kind of a partition, which is 10 tvachim. That's the shir mechitz for sukkah and for Shabbos, other areas of halacha. So you have to make a mechitz a bare minimum of 10 tvachim as a heker to remind you not to eat the chametz. The imshal hektish, if it's chametz shal hektish and otzarech, then you're not required to make a mechitz in my time. Mevdo bedili in shemineh, because hektish, you're nervous. Beis hamikdash, no one's going to ever come to eat the pizza pie that belongs to the beis hamikdash. But if a guy has a pizza and he leaves it in your house, so then that's considered to be a problem. But the rabbanon, you have to make a mechitz a 10 tefachim. That's why the poskim say that even though we sell a chametz to the goyim, and now we have chametz shal acham in our rishus, and there's no kabbalah sechrayas, so min haTorah it's not a problem. But midrabanan, it is a problem unless we make a mechitza yud. So what does it mean, make a mechitza yud? You have to literally put it away somewhere in such an area where there's actually a wall that's separating between you and the chametz. So some people really don't do this properly. Some people, they'll put their chametz into their closet or something. But it's so technically speaking, the closet door is closed, and then that closet door is a mechitza yud tvachim. The problem is that's the coat closet also. So they go in and out of the same closet, taking out the coats the whole Pesach. So that's a problem. You're not really supposed to do that because if the door is so easily open, so what kind of a joke? That's a joke. That's not a mechitza yitvachim. So that's the chara problem. So what the correct thing to do is one's supposed to put the chametz in such a place, lock it up in such a room, and put the key away. It should be in such a way that closet is not accessible for the entire Pesach to fulfill this din properly of chametz shel akom, where you're required to make a mechitza ten tvachim. So comes the Shulchan Aruch, the next Gemara Mekomos, and really quoting a Gemara that appears in Maseches Pesachim. The Shulchan Aruch and Simin Tov Nem, Eino Yehudi Shnichlas Labeis Yisroel V'chemtza B'yadah. What if a non-Jew comes into a Jew's home on Pesach, and he's holding on to his chametz? So what do you do?
So says the Shulchan Aruch, according to the Gemara, Eino Zochok Lahotziyo. You're not mechuyif to send him out. You're not mechuyif to throw him out. You're not mechuyif to take him, tell him to get rid of his chametz. Apa pisha Yisrael roa chametz shel eino Yehudi, ein bekach klum. Even though I'm looking, I'm staring at the chametz is in my house, it doesn't matter, since it's a goy's chametz, it's het the gum enough to be concerned with. After the second half of the Shulchan Aruch, we'll get back to in a second, about eating on the same table with him. So comes the Mishnah Berurah in Sivkat and Tezayin, says the Mishnah Berurah, ein bekach klum, quotes the Gemara verbatim. But now comes the Mishnah Berurah and says, we have a problem. True, Shalcha Iyataroa solves the problem in HaTorah, but doesn't the Gemara in Psachim Davav say there's a problem in the Rabbanon of Gezerah Shemiyava Liachlo? That you may come to eat the Chametz? That Gezerah is really an all encompassing Gezerah. That's the reason why many Rishonim say why we do B'dikas Chametz in the first place on Erev Pesach. Even though in HaTorah you could just do Bittel, you could declare the Chametz to be ownerless and Bottel, Ka'afa Diara. So Tosfos writes in Psachim on Daf Beis that's true, that'll solve the problem of Ayurah, but the Tachlis is that you need it. If you're not going to check and make sure there's no Chometz, then you're going to need it. So that's what the same thing the Gemara says in the Vav. That if I know that I have a Goy's Chometz in my Rishus, and I know it's a Goy, so I'm not violating Ayurah, but Tachlis, bottom line, you may come to eat it. So comes the Mishnah Berurah and says, how could the Gemara say, how could the Shulchan Aruch write that, Akom Shenichnas Lebeis Yisroel Ein Zochok Lehotzio, that you're not Mechuyif to throw him out? You should insist that he put it down and you build a mechitza ten tefachim. So how can you get away without this mechitza ten tefachim? Says the Mishnah Berurah, no, this is different. Ulasham yovel yochel lekel hanechash, kemoshe choshesh b'mufke b'yadov v'tzichu mishum zelasas mechitza. Just as we are choshesh when I'm watching a goy's chometz, even without kabbalas achrayas, I have to make a mechitza ten. This is different. Why? Da ha-chometz u'tachas yad ha'akum hu mishamro. In the case in Davav, the first case in the Gemara, when the guy leaves his chametz in my house, not for me officially to wash it, just Tom leaves it there. So that's a problem. When the guy leaves the chametz and he walks out, so then Gzereshem Yavaliachla may come to eat it. And the guy is walking, he's holding on to his roll. So what am I afraid of? I'm going to mug him, I'm going to go grab the challah roll away from him, I'm going to grab his pizza away from him, I'm going to eat it. So there's no Shema Yavaliachla. So comes the Mishnah Berurah and says, it comes out a strange thing that. Sometimes it's mutal lechetchila shablechetchila for a guy to have his chametz in your rishus, and sometimes it's a problem with the rabbanon. It depends. If the guy's holding on to his chametz for dear life, then it's mutal lechetchila. Nothing whatsoever, no problem whatsoever. However, if the guy puts it down, he walks away, so then, although minat Torah, it doesn't make a difference whether he's holding or not holding it, minat Torah is the same thing, but with the rabbanon, the gezeirah shablechetchila now kicks in. So comes the Mishnah Berurah and says, that's the din. The kol zman that the goy is mamish holding on to it, presumably there's absolutely nothing whatsoever to be concerned with. So comes the Mishnah Berurah on the bottom in the Shaar HaTzion, in the notes of the bottom of Mishnah Berurah, Sivkat and Lamed, and comes the Mishnah Berurah and gives a limitation to the school. So far it sounds like great. It sounds like min haTorah we solve by Rav Emotzer, because it's the goy's chametz. And there's no kabbalas achrayas, there's nothing to worry about. And you don't even need a mechitza yud, because the goy is holding on to it. Says the Mishnah Berurah, but there's one exception to every rule. Namely, the chol zeh be'ein ha'akom avdo. This is assuming that the goy is not working for you. It doesn't mean literally an eved, it means he's not your worker, not your servant. Why? Here's the punchline, says the Mishnah Berurah. The ba'avdo shemezonoson alav, because if it's a non-Jew who you're responsible to feed, then you should not let him bring his chametz into your house. Even though he bought it himself, he bought it with his own money, you didn't buy it for him. You should not let your worker bring his chametz into your house. Why? That really doesn't look right. There's a very serious maris ayin. You're going to... So the non-Jew is going to come walking in, carrying his roll. So everyone's going to think, oh, Mr. Cohn, this is Mr. Cohn's worker. And Mr. Cohn always feeds this guy. Guy works every day 9 to 5. But part of his contract is he's going to eat lunch by Mr. Cohn's house. So today he's eating a piece of chametz. It must be that Mr. Cohn bought him chametz. That's a terrible marasayan. That means you'd be choshen Mr. Cohn for violating by Rav Emot. So and you'd be choshen him for being nenem in a chametz. Because to give chametz to a guy and taste it was a violation of Yisuri Hanoho. So that's a very serious problem. So the Mishnah Berurah says that you're not allowed to do it. But a stranger guy walks in with his own chametz and calls man, he's holding on to it, so then it's mutter min haTorah, it's mutter min drabanan. But if he's your worker, that's a problem, the problem of Marisayah.
That's just the point that the Mishnah Berurah is saying. If
Oh, very good. Okay. Hold on. We'll see in a second. We'll see 1 second. So this is what the Mishnah Berurah's psak is. So this particular Sharetzion, okay, you know, thought about it, you know, I swore it, you know, a while ago, Mishnah Berurah, Sharetzion, very good. Never thought it would be too lemaisa. Last year, Chol HaMoed Pesach, I took the kids to, I forget which gala event it was last year, but we were out somewhere on a Chol HaMoed trip, and my cell phone rings, and my wife was home, and she was home with the baby. We keep our babies with us on Pesach. She was home with the baby and the babysitter, and we went to the mall to get something. Fine. So she says, my wife said to me, usually whenever I go to the mall, so I always give the babysitter, you know, the babysitter is not a big fan of kosher food, so I always give her $5, I've got a Burger King, I've got a Domino's, whatever she wants, I'll go buy something to eat for herself, that'll be her supper for the night. Okay. So, Kachav, the same thing, she gave her $5, let's go buy whatever you want. So she went to go buy a slice of pizza, so she came back with the pizza, and she's getting into the car, back into our car, with her slice of pizza into our car. So my wife said, wait, just 1 second. Stay in the street for a second. She calls the emergency. What's the din? So I said, this is a gewaltig bizar, really. Gewaltig shaila. I said, here's the story. Min haTorah, it's okay. And even the drabanan, it should be okay, because this is the gemara about b'tekel b'yado. She's not going to put the pizza down. She's holding on to it for dear life. But why? The problem is it's mezonos and alecha. She's our babysitter. And part of our agreement with her is that we're going to give us up every night. So, gewaltig mezonos and alecha. That's ein l'chamaris ayin golem izeh. It means you're going to see, in effect, the non-Jewish babysitter walking with a Domino's pizza into Rabbi Sobolovsky's car. So everyone's going to think that Rabbi Sobolovsky bought her a piece of pizza on Pesach, which would, of course, be an Issa Deraisa of Vayura on her part, and the violation of being Nen and Issa Chametz. No, so the question is that a Marisayim? Yes, the question I have to watch what she eats. Mistama, even the Mishnah Berurah only said it. Mishnah Berurah says, "Ein la nicha shekhanas labayis." That's what the Mishnah Berurah says. I hear the svar. It's a big svar. So that's what I was asking myself. So she cannot come into the car with the pizza. So then I started to think, you know, Morty's got a good point. I said, who says, forget about chametz for a second, who says that she's ever allowed to go into the mall? How can my wife ever give her the $5 if she's going to buy her food and bring it into my car? So it depends what she's going to buy. If she's going to buy pizza, so what's so terrible? Well, my wife can't buy a tray for pizza. Tray for pizza is mutter, pepperoni pizza, a regular slice of pizza, so it's tray. Because those aren't tray. But it's mutter no. Well, let's say she goes to Kentucky Fried Chicken, not in Pesach. She goes on a regular Tuesday to Kentucky Fried Chicken, she buys up a piece of fried chicken. So it's not also banah. So in the day of the traveling, the day of the traveling is mutter banah. So my wife herself could buy her the Kentucky, what, someone's going to be choshesh that my wife ate the Kentucky Fried Chicken. That's not what the chashash is. The chashash was by chometz. Someone's going to be choshesh that she bought and gave it to me. She was nana misuri hanah. So the Kentucky Fried Chicken is not a problem. The pizza is not a problem. Problem is the cheeseburger. The cheeseburger is a shayla of a basa b'chala, basa b'chala is also b'ano. So all of a sudden, I started to get like this, broke ground in a cold sweat. I said, wait a second, maybe every week I should be worried about this. You can't go a new chumrah, that your worker can't go into Burger King and to bring the Burger King into your car. So those who were at the Yerder Shurim on Tuesday night, at the very beginning of the year, so we spoke about that a little bit, namely, that a cheeseburger is not so posh as really also b'ano. As they sound strange, but there are two very good stuff that why a cheeseburger is not really asa b'hana. You know why? Because it's not so posh that it's real bas b'chol of deraisa. Number one is b'sayin avela. So b'sayin avela is machlokes is tells on the Rambam whether it's even shayach to become bas b'chol of deraisa. So it could be, it's just nevela. Nevela is, I'm not advocating eating it, but it's just, it's an isa lav, not an isa hana, which makes all the difference over here in terms of the marisahim. Number one. And number two, it's not as bashal yachad, it's mitzla b'yachad. It's roasted on a grill together. So that's a big machlek, is the very beginning of the Hilchos Bas B'chol, the Chorav, a major machlek is that Bas B'chol of Deraisa. So the only time that the Bas B'chol is Asr B'hano is only if it's Bas B'chol of Deraisa. If it's Bas B'chol of Derabanan, then it's Mutter B'hano. So there are two possible tzedabim to say that a cheeseburger is not real Bas B'chol of Deraisa. So I thought that Lagabe this Marisayan of the Mishnah Berurah, Mustami Eshtahokal, and that one could argue that since there are Gedolei HaRishonim, we'll hold that even in HaTorah, this is not really an Isser Hanah. So the guy made this, but somebody could treat the cheeseburger like regular Nevelos or Trefus, like the Kentucky Fried Chicken, that the Marisayim wouldn't apply. But by Chometz, the Marisayim, Tachas, it doesn't apply. So that was the Psach, that by Chometz, I thought it was Tachas inappropriate. So this is the background. Now to today's Shaila. So the person who asked me the shayla, they themselves weren't answering. They were asking on behalf of one of the Balabatim who presented the shayla to them. So the question was this, again, leaving out the fact that to have a non-Jew in your kitchen for a whole week, forget about your baby, to have a non-Jew in your kitchen the whole week, that would throw some very... The people, by the way, I asked the Rav, who asked the shayla, where are these people going? It was collapsed. They're going to Eretz Yisrael. Not like they're going to the Hamawak, they're going to Eretz Yisrael. But anyway... So I said that those are very, very serious problems, kashrus and otherwise, but whatever, just pure hilchos chametz. So what are the eitzes that are available? So technically speaking, shadows like this, can this non-Jewish woman bring, she'll go shopping for herself every day of Pesach, she'll go take the baby for a walk, she'll go shopping and buy for herself, and she'll lean on the chametz and the kalim and everything. What's it then? The baby's still on formula. So she's going to eat her own stuff. So I said, if you want my Hilchos Pesach answer, I think that's a violation. Exactly what this Mishnah Berurah says, that this non-Jewish woman is going to go to the store and she's going to come upstairs and bring her packages of Domino's pizza and rolls and everything and cereals. And everybody knows that she's the babysitter for this family. So everyone's going to put two and two together that she's buying food for them. So that's
everybody knows.
Yeah. Yes, I thought that was a very serious Maris Zion problem. So how do you circumvent the Maris Zion problem? So I said, I think what you could do is like this. Normally, this would be a problem. The problem of Maris Zion is just the very fact that she's eating the chametz, that she has chametz in the basis role. But here, there's nobody else around. The door is closed. So whatever's taking place behind closed doors, we'll see in a second, is not really going to be a problem of Maris Zion. We'll see in a second why that should be so. So what I thought is, the best answer is, let her buy all the chametz before Pesach. Let her buy everything, a new chumrah. The girl, you have to buy all the chametz from before Pesach. Or, I said, if you really want to do it, you go shopping. Let the balas habayis buy all the chametz, and then be makne it to the girl, legamrei, not with a flaky mechiris chametz, with a real mechiris chametz. She'll give you money for it. She'll give it a receipt. She'll pay you for the chametz, and you'll hand it to her, kinyan hagbalz, mamish 1,000 ha chametz. You have no achrayas, no shmir, no nothing. It's a goy's chametz with Eis Yisrael. There's no shem yovel yachlo there in Eretz Yisrael, so no one's going to come to eat this chametz. So what Maris Ayin? There's no Maris Ayin here. The Maris Ayin is when she brings the food upstairs, when she's bringing out the elevator, that's the Maris Ayin. Once she's behind closed doors, that's not the Maris Ayin. Now, normally we have a rule, the Gemara says, kol mash asur chachamim, v'shum Maris Ayin, afilu v'chad v'chadarim asru. So there are many poskim who say, that means only when there was an official Isser Alt Maris Ayin, like the Gemara says that in the context of hanging up clothes to dry. The Gemara says, you're not allowed to hang up wet clothes to dry on Shabbos because it's a Maris Ayin. People are going to think that you washed the clothes. So the Gemara says, even if the doors are locked, the windows are locked, no one could see it, that's still a problem. So many folks can say that's because there was a special Minoy Beis Din, there was official Gzeir Derabana not to hang up wet clothes, Alt Maris Ayin. So once they made that Gzeir, it was Asa below Plug, Chad Yechadar. Mashain came here, what there was an official psak of Beis Din that you're not allowed to have your non-Jews eating. Mr. Brewer just said that it's taka marasai. Mr. Brewer said taka makes sense. The people are going to think that you're doing an aveira. So there are a group of achronim who say that kol mash asru chachom is name marasai and afil b'chad achronim asru doesn't apply over here. So I thought that the stum, as long as you get rid of the real marasai, and so the chad achronim, you don't have to be so concerned. So I thought at least in terms of this marasai and of the avdai, Shem was an osan alav, so mustam it's enough if you bought the chametz from beforehand, so then it's mamish chametz al akum, and no strings attached, and there's no shmir, no chreif, no chamos al chreif, no mafkin, no shomer, nothing. And the Maris Ayin is just pashas that don't really apply over here.
And do you eat it outside the house?
No, I think that would be a problem, right? It means if she, she can go and...
She's sitting outside the
hamburger. I don't know. I was too sick at the whole stuff. What? Yeah, but some posts can say but the mice and my sign their ice is only when it really applies. When it doesn't apply, it doesn't apply. So that extra chumra only applies to things that the chumra officially made a minyan based on. That's what that group of some achronim have to do. Maybe and maybe not. It's a shayla. That's true or not. There is a last akuda about this issue of having a goy's chametz in your house on Pesach, something that the Shulchan Aruch alluded to before, and the Shulchan Aruch said that you're not allowed to have it on the same table. So what is this all about? So this is really more of a Yerdeish Shaila than an Archaim Shaila. This touches on a general question of having, let's say I'm sitting down, I'm eating over here, and someone else is eating next to me, is that a problem? Some of the food is kosher, some of the food is treif. So the real sugya starts in Uchus Bas B'chola, because the Mishnah tells us in the 8th Perek of Masechus Chulin that I'm not allowed to eat fleishiks on this table, and my next door neighbor, my wife, whoever it is, going to eat milchiks on the other side of the table. That's a problem. That Oifu Gvina are not only not allowed to be eaten together, but Oifu Gvina are not even allowed to be together at the same table, because of the fear that Shema Yavol Yochla B'yachad. That's in fact why many of the dirim that the Rishonim spell out in that sugya in the beginning of the 8th Perek of Chulin, that the whole gezeira was that you're going to eat the fleishiks and milchiks together, so if you make some kind of a shinui or something, so then that's going to remind you. So what does that mean? I put my own placemat down or something, or we put something bizarre on the table that's usually not there, so those kinds of things will serve as a shinui, which will remind us not to eat from one another. So the Rishonim point out that the same way that the Mishnah says in the Sechah Shabbos, that when a woman is a nidah, so the husband's not supposed to eat at the same table with her, so the post can say the stomach just as in Hukkus Vas B'chol of those kinds of shinuyim help, so to an Hukkus Nidah those shinuyim help also. So even though the Gemara never spells that out in Hukkus Nidah, but the Ma'aseh, that's what we assume the halacha. So the dinim of Chelek Aleph in your day in terms of Vas B'chol of carry over to Chelek Beis as well. That's what the halacha is. The Ma'aseh, that the hachok of not eating with your wife, which is a nidah, so if you have a separate tablecloth, if you have something on the table that's out of the ordinary, so those kinds of things are going to solve the problem. So come the post can have the following shadow. This din that you're not allowed to eat fleishiks and milchiks at the same table because you may come to eat from one another, is this only true by fleishiks and milchiks? What about by other isurim? What's the din if I'm sitting down and eating my tuna sandwich and the guy is sitting at the same table eating his ham sandwich? So what's the halacha? So maybe one can argue that when it comes to like basar v'chalav, so you know, it's very easy to forget that I just ate my fleishiks and I may grab his slice of pizza in the middle because I'm not used to not eating pizza. The ham sandwich, the chazal sandwich. Who's never in a million years come to eat chazal? So maybe the gezer was limited only to two dvarim hamutarim. It never really was said to a davar asar b'fnei atzmo. So the shach, in the beginning of his bas b'chalav, in the bottom of the marmakamos, the first part of the shach got a little bit chopped off. So first the shach quotes from the first group of Rishonim who seem to say that it's okay, that din of lo yochol basar gvina al shulchan echad, that was dafka by basar gvina. And the raya that he brings is, because the Rishonim write that on Pesach, you shouldn't sit down and eat your matzahs and have a guy sitting and eating his sandwich next to you. Why? So the poskim say the reason is, for a technical reason, namely the chametz of Pesach is asa b'mashahu. So there's a chance that a little bit of his crumbs may end up in your matzah sandwich. So it's a good idea. It's an eitzah teiva, nisar, but in terms of the real formal Issa Dirabban of Nechad B'Shulchan Echad, so many Rishonim seem to say it doesn't really apply. So that's what the Shach says. Let's say you have another type of Issa which is not the Mashu, like Chazir. So what's going to happen? A drop of this Chazir is going to end up in your sandwich? Even if it does, it's going to be Bapa B'Shishim anyway. So the Shach argues that according to those Rishonim who only asked the Chametz and the Masa at the same table because of the unique Issa of Chametz and Mashu, maybe there would be Masa even Lechatchila to be eating trade for food at the same table as somebody else. Not you eating treif, you eating kosher food at the same table he's eating treif food. So then the Shach comes and says, but it would appear from other Rishonim not this Rechemi. Divrei Archas Chaim, the first line of the Shach, Shevi Beis Yosef, Mamash Machal Lecharash, Hakosu Sam Vizal Lashonu. Yimrotza Ovi Kichalim Lechol Chometz Uveis Yisrael, Mutar. The Archas Chaim said that if a guy wants to eat his chometz, remember, it's B'Tzeka B'Yado at the Jew's house, that's okay. The Afilu Al Shulchan Yisrael, even if he's mom, he can eat together with the Jew at the same table. Can you imagine, go home and tell your wife that we send the shiur tonight, that the guy can, as long as he's not your worker, he can come and bring his pizza, and eat at your table also. That'll go over well. Karav adavar lahatir zeh matzah v'zeh chametz. So the Archas Chaim says he thinks that it's okay. Do me the shneach sanoim adkan. What is shneach sanoim? So the Gemara says, by Basa b'chalav, let's say I'm eating fleishiks and you're eating milchiks. I don't know who you are. We're two guests at a hotel. I don't know who you are. If I don't know who you are, what are the odds that I'm going to grab a bite of your pizza? If I'm a good friend of yours, so we may come to share food. If I don't have a clue who you are, then that's not going to happen. So the Archas Chaim says that the only reason, he thinks the reason why it's mutter when it comes to chametz is because who's eating this? Who's eating the chametz? It's a guy who's eating the chametz. The chametz of a guy, I'm such palsy with a guy, with the hit and time of doing the shnech, the noim dafka, the chalal, the sphere lay, the afilu davashu, also b'fnei atzma, also ha'as ala shulchan. Means basically the Archas Chaim is saying is that the Israeli should apply. The only thing is that it doesn't apply because it has the halachic status of Bezach Sonoim. So the Shach pilpels back and forth and back and forth. What's the din? Does this apply? Does this or not apply? Lamais, at the end of the day, the Shulchan Aruch says that you really shouldn't have the guy eating chametz on the same table that you're eating. But it could be it's not because of the real formal Issa D'Rabbanan of you're going to eat it together, because it could be that that formal Issa D'Rabbanan doesn't apply to Shari Surim. Maybe that formal Issa D'Rabbanan doesn't apply to the guy because you don't even know who the guy is. The real reason why you shouldn't have the guy and the Jew eating chametz and matzah at the same table is because of the technical problem that you may get a little bit mixed up. Like their initial reaction would be, it's not a very good idea for the guy to be eating the pizza literally sitting at your table. So I call upon him, except for those two conditions, those two extra special considerations, either if it's a guy who's working for you, or if the guy wants to actually sit down and eat together at the same table, technically speaking, but take up the other's mutter, that the guy comes in with his own chametz in his hand, as long as he doesn't put it down. Once he puts it down, that's considered to be a problem. Once he puts it down, so then you have to be afraid of that perhaps Shema Yavel Yachla. We had this issue also with the babysitter, that the babysitter had some kind, I don't know what it was, some kind of perfume, some kind of something or other. So some of the perfumes could potentially be real chametz. Out of all the things that are on the list of stuff that could be chametz, so perfume is one of the worst ones, because it's yadua that certain people, when they can't get the other kind of alcohol they like to drink, so tend to drink other types of things also. So some of those things, believe it or not, are not as nifsal as you may think. Many things. Most people don't drink deodorants, but the perfumes are certain things that even some people in the Shas of Chacham actually drink. So Kozman, let's say worst case scenario. So she brings in this stuff and she leaves it in her room that she's sleeping in her house. So I thought that was a shtickle to take up the other. That means what? She's in the room. To take up the other means literally to holding on to it. Mustama means I'm not going to come into her room and start. I'm going to come and use the perfume. So Mustama, there's no gazer there. So then I was wondering. I said, what's the din when she leaves? What's the halacha when she goes away for the weekend? So she leaves all her stuff. She doesn't take all her stuff with her every weekend. So what's the din? So can I have, again, there's a little bit of, in the olamos habdimyonos a little bit, assuming that it would really be chametz. Let's say worst case scenario, it would really be chametz. So that pashas would be the halach equivalent of hiniach etzlai. So hiniach etzlai would be gzeir shema yavo lehenos min menu, liachla, whatever the case may be. Again, assuming that it was really chametz. The new chumra is that you have to check the perfumes of your goyish workers when they come in Pesach. That's really, that's a little bit much. So I remember I was just thinking to myself last year, Sadaka, what does she have? What is this junk that she has? So I went over after she had left. So let's see. I wasn't going to throw it out. I wasn't going to think about it. So my high is it on the Rabbi Blumenkranz list or not? Is her perfume approved for Pesach? So it turns out I don't even know what it was, but it had nothing in it. I don't even think it was perfume. I don't know what it was, but the mice it wasn't coming. I was just ma'orah, this little nakuda, that lo yitzi would be really chametz. Let's say a person with mamish, the non-Jewish worker, would really bring in their own candy bars or something, and they would leave it, chametz bars, they would buy Kit Kats. They would really leave it literally in their, on their night table or something, and they go away for the weekend. So that would be a problem. The pasha says that would not be the tzeik of biyadu. The problem, that the pasha says, that would be chametz shel akum sheniach etzel Yisrael b'likah b'osachrayas. So you don't have to throw it out. You're not supposed to throw it out. You've got to maybe throw it out. But the pasha says, for the time that the goyim are not there, you have to make a mechitza yitvachim. So you would have to put something. Put a stick in the closet, throw it in the closet or something. You'd have to make it such a way, the same way we do with the chametz of the real chametz, of the chametz of the goyim that we sell to. So it's interesting that sometimes these dinim of the tekel biyado and abdo and everything sometimes really come up halacha l'maaseh.